an AppleViz original.
Hanging upside down, trying to get a picture of my face.
Are you doing a bat thing for Halloween again or something?
Yes. I'm just a big bat.
Or you're the vampire.
Well, kind of.
Okay. That's the same. One and the same, really. Okay. Have not received an invitation from you that you...
I have not received it.
Yes, Mr. Buster Brown, you're falling behind.
Okay, well then, no matter what, you're still wrong.
Oh, this is so Apple. It's only available for the United States at this time. Apologies.
That's okay with me.
It isn't for others. Like, oh, I am
sorry there, everybody.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for giving our Unleashed show a listen. My name is Thomas Donville. I'm also known as Not a Mouse. And welcome to AppleViz Unleashed for October 2020. I am here with my buddy, old pal, Randy Rushneck. How are you doing, Randy?
I'm doing good. Also known as a big R. And I want to say hi. And hi, friends. How's it all going? We're just two men, a two-man operation right now. So we're just kind of flying along with just two of us.
But I like how you know what? I'm going to start doing that. This is Randy Rushneck, also known as a big R. I like that. That's awesome. Hey, did you know what happened this month? I mean, if you had to be under the rock.
No, I don't know what happened. What happened this month, Tom?
I am glad you asked me because something called the High Speed Keynote came out this month, right?
It did.
And you know that they discuss about the four phones models that we have been talking about for months. And guess what? All those leaks and rumors were spot on. It was amazing. It's like there is no sacred secrets anymore whatsoever when it comes to Apple anymore. We got the phones we knew was coming. The sizes were right. The RAM on it were right. Everything about it was right. Mm-hmm. If you guys want to hear more details about the keynote, definitely check out the AppleViz Extra that Dave Nason, myself, and I believe Scott Davitt and Tyler Steven were on.
That was great.
But here, we're going to discuss about our purchase. Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. You know, my last month, I was discussing about wanting to get the iPhone Mini. Were you?
Oh, yes. I remember.
You wanted to get the Mini, too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was about 80% sure I was going to do that. But everything changed, folks. Nice. What happened was the wonderful Randy over here sent me this email or text. Said, oh, Thomas, you've got to check this out. Because
I remember that. Oh, man.
I was like, oh, my God. But this is okay. So what happened was we're both T-Mobileans, and he gave me this offer. And it was an iPhone 12 Pro, folks, for half off. So I was able to snag that deal for $499. I got the iPhone 12 Pro graphite back face. So I end up getting the Pro just because I got it for $499. I put a deposit down, and I'm only paying $10.41 for the next 2 years.
Yeah, they sure do lock you in. But I couldn't sleep after I saw that link. I was okay until my email went off. And what's the thing that I do is I check emails, you know, right?
Yeah.
And I think first it was an SMS, and then I checked them both, and then I got the T-Mobile alert, and I went, oh, okay, I'm going to ignore this one and go back to sleep. But did I? No, I didn't. So I got this, and I go, I got to tell Thomas about this. Oh, my God, I couldn't believe it. I had to look at it three times just to make sure. So I ended up with the 12, not the 12 Pro.
Oh, did
but, you? I'm paying. Yeah, I did. But I got mine half off. Well, that doesn't sound very good. I got my phone for half price. There we go. I have to watch it on this podcast here, don't we? Keep them family oriented. But yeah, I got my phone half price too, and just
phenomenal price.
We'll talk about how we feel about it.
Huh? Oh, yeah. That was a phenomenal price. Yeah. And so, you know, give our listeners, we both end up getting the 12. He got the iPhone 12. I got the iPhone 12 Pro, and we both got it for half off. So we got it for the half the price, which, you know, I'm kind of, I, and And I'll be honest, I don't have any regrets, but I tell you, you and I are so lucky to be able to get one of these. I guess it is so hard to find an iPhone 12 or an iPhone 12 Pro.
Not only did we get them, but we got them on time before anybody else did, which is really
well,
weird.
That's a story and a half, too, because, you know, originally it says it was going to come on Friday. And then I got a message to say, well, sorry, yours has been pushed off to November 2nd through the 10th.
Oh, really?
I was like, oh, man. And then, lo and behold, that Thursday before, it says it's shipped and it'll be there on Friday. So I was like, oh, wow. So apparently a lot of people are still waiting on their phones. And for those that are looking for one are going to have a very hard time. And apparently they're saying that the demand for it is twice as much. The ordering for the ordering for the phones were twice as much as were last year. So Apple finally got a dynamite or a diamond in their hands, because for years and years they have been kind of just subpar or below average of iPhone orderings on registration day. That was not the case this year. So there is a high demand for it. And even Steve Cook says they are in high strain to try to keep it in demand. So if you try to get one, if you can, before Christmas, it's a hot item to get. Now, obviously, the iPhone Mini and the iPhone Pro Max is coming, which I'm pre-order on November 6th. And I have no regrets on my Pro. Do you have regret in not getting the Mini?
I can't say enough about mine.
Go ahead. Tell
them. I'm so blown away by mine. I went from I jumped from an 8 to a 12. I'm going to try to put this as succinctly as I can, but I find going to a no home button, I'm not even worrisome at all, because I tried out an iPhone 11 from my work, and I had to keep up with the Face ID so I could help somebody else. And this is just my own experience, and I'm not saying that everybody will have the same experience, but I worked with the phone for, I don't know, maybe 15 minutes. I went, man, this is okay. So I had to show one of my students how to use Face ID and how to go without a home button. And there, for me, there aren't any issues. Do I love Face ID? I don't. I wish there was some sort of a fingerprint reader. However, that didn't stop me. I'll just say that right now. But if you're afraid, don't be. If you definitely don't think you can do it, then I would advise you to go with the, you know, like a SE or something, if you just absolutely think that you can't do it. But really, if you can, give it a try, or at somebody else's place, or in a work situation maybe. But I have no problems, but I still don't like Face ID.
You know, you're not alone. With no surprise, one of the biggest complaint I seen on Twitter and on AppleViz was the lack of that they did not introduce the Touch ID on the power button.
But we know that was going to happen. We follow all that stuff, and we knew it was not going to happen.
It was not going to happen this year.
Right. Next year, they don't even know where they're going to put it. They don't think it's going to be in the side button. They feel that it's going to be in the under the screen, but not on the side button. They pretty much ruled that out now. Did you get that thought too, Tom?
Yeah, you know, I it's just like you. I knew it wasn't coming out this version. It's just not going to happen because they introduced a lot of new things under the hood on this device. They weren't going to reveal everything at once, and I don't think they're quite ready for that anyway. Right. Will they ever introduce it? I don't know. This is one of these things that we have been dealing with for the ever since Face ID has come along, and people really want that home, that Touch ID back. And I think that's why some flew to this SC2020, which I rightfully so. If you're one of those people that really want that and not want Face ID, I agree, SC2020 is for you. However, in saying that, it's like it's a trend, you know, it's either going to go away eventually, just like the headphone, or they'll reintroduce it back. I don't have an answer for you, but I hope that they do. But for me, it did take a while to get used with the Face ID, and I'm glad your experience was And I'm glad you mentioned that, because there are going to be a lot of people. I think there are going to be a lot more people coming from the 8 and below and coming on to this new Face ID. So your experience was great to hear. The thing I was worried about, and I mentioned it last month, was I wasn't sure if I would get the iPhone 12 mini because of battery factor. And once the spec came out, and that was after our show, I have no regret. The battery size on the mini is really small, guys. It's not, it is maybe, oh, I'm going to think about here, about 20% bigger than the SC2020. And yeah, and so apparently the iPhone 12 mini is only a 2200 mAh compared to an 1800 mAh. And you're looking at, we're talking about, gosh, whatever, I want to say 3000 or so mAh on the iPhone 12. But anywho, it was enough a difference that I was like, that is going to work for me. I drain this phone quite a bit down a day. If you're one of those that don't use the phone, or I should say, if you don't come back at the end of the day and you're not at 20-30% and you're up higher, then I think the iPhone 12 mini will be a perfect fit for you. But if you're continuously
For us, it was completely different.
Exactly.
We teach, and so we just couldn't do it.
Well, the downside of mine is that the 5G is pretty much everywhere I'm going. I was shocked to find how available 5G is in the areas I'm visiting. Even in the smaller cities, I was like, they actually have 5G here. And with that, these iPhone 12 line are 10% less battery than the iPhone 11. So for me, coming down from 11 to or coming up to an iPhone 12, I was kind of sort of disappointed with the battery. I know that the chips are supposed to be more efficient, but I noticed my battery draining a little faster than normal. Mm-hmm. I may try to just set it to LTE only, even though it's supposed to have this auto detection, as in what it thinks you should use 5G when you shouldn't. Even with that on, I'm seeing my battery drain a little bit faster, not a whole lot faster, but it's a little bit more faster than normal. 10%, they'll be about right. There's some saying that when you're using 5G, they're seeing a battery drain 20% faster. So that's kind of dramatic when you talk in terms like that. So it was kind of a step back for me coming from 11 to 12. Now for you, you come from an 8 to a 12. You're not going to notice that. You're just going to notice a way bigger battery because even the iPhone 8 was a smaller battery.
And yeah, like so, I was telling Tom, when I went to sleep last night, I forgot to charge my phone, which is something that I don't do usually, but I did forget, and I woke up and I had taken mine off the charger at 8 a.m. the night before. And so training all day, plus using the phone myself on other things and streaming and stuff. When I went to bed, it was at 52%. When I went to bed, it was like, well, I don't remember the statistics, but when I woke up, still at 52%, and I've still been using it all day, and I have nothing to complain about.
That's awesome.
So that's me from the 8 to the 12. Now, here's another thing about Face ID. I have an inversion table, and I was hanging upside down Face IDing. I mean, you got to admit, that's pretty good. hanging upside down trying to get a picture of my face.
Are you doing a bat thing for Halloween again or something?
Yes. I'm just a big bat.
Or you're the vampire.
Kind of.
Okay. That's the same. One and the same, really. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're hanging upside down and then Face ID, and it works really well.
Well, I just know I had to move the phone up. But usually when I am, I have to move the phone up toward my upside down face. And it did work. It was fine. When I am right side up, I noticed I have to pull the camera down instead of hold it at face level or move it up. My habit was to move it in direct line with my face, but I have to use the top camera and hold the phone down in order for it to get a good picture. That's my take on it. I don't know what yours is, but that's mine.
I don't really have a problem with the Face ID. I think the Face ID recognition I think it's getting better in every phone version. And, and this is, I noticed it's not as picky as my, it sounds crazy, but each phone that I've had, 10, 11, and 12s, they've gotten better, faster, and more able to recognize your face in different angles. So it seemed to be getting better to me. So I don't have a particular problem with the Face ID. I know there's a lot of people that do. You know, one of my favorite about this iPhone 12 is the flat edges. I cannot say enough how much I have forgotten how much I love the flat edges compared to the bevel. We haven't seen this since our iPhone 5 or something like that. And I absolutely love this flat edge. It just seems to fit in my hands so much better. It just feels like a new phone to me. It seems smaller width-wise and definitely a little bit taller. I mean, obviously the phones are a little bit taller, but it just seems like it's more so because of the flat edge.
And they are definitely heavier too. I have mine in an OtterBox case, and it's really a piece of tech in your hand.
Isn't it amazing? It feels like a lead in your hand. It's like, oh, yeah. It's getting so heavy. It's like good gracious, how could something like that? It's so thin, but so heavy at the same time. It's impressive. It's like, wow. Now, yeah. Did you order a MagSafe with your device?
No,
I haven't either. I am curious to, I need to see one before I've heard mixed reviews about it. Now, if you read an article David Goodwin did on the website on AppleVis, he talks about his story about the iPhone 12 Pro and his thoughts and reason why he went that way. But one of those things that he talked about with the MagSafe, you know, some people are having issues. Yes, it slaps onto your phone, but you got to kind of like tug it off. And so every time you put it down, it snaps on just fine. But when you pick it up, you have to kind of pry it off it. So it isn't like just comes right off like the wireless charging that I have now. And I know that's the whole point, is to magnetize so it'll get directly in the best sweet spot for charging. However, I'm thinking to myself, I really wanted that dual charging. I'm thinking, boy, every time somebody calls me, I could just see myself pick up the phone. I'm yanking on this wire that the charger's on. And I'm just thinking, I'm not sure. And I have to think about it.
No, it's like the Apple Watch. And I'll tell you another thing is that I've noticed a lot of people on YouTube that I'm subscribed to. They don't care for them because it scratches the back of their phones.
Really? Interesting.
Mm-hmm. They're minute, but it can be seen, little scuffs on the wow. Back of their phone.
Now I'm curious because we have a case. But my problem is my case on the back, I noticed it kind of raises up away from the surface, not by much, mm-hmm. maybe about a quarter inch. And I'm wondering mm-hmm. if that would make any difference to the magnets, as in being able to power since it isn't flat on the surface.
Maybe. I would say that.
I would think so too. So there's a lot of things to think about I didn't think about before. One, is your case flat with your phone? Mine isn't. And so I'm thinking that would make a difference too. Are you constantly putting your phone down on something, and do you constantly pick it up while it's charging? And with that MagSafe, it could be a cumbersome because you have to keep taking it off. Now,
mm-hmm. I don't really want it.
I'll have to check. I might ask for it for Christmas. We'll have to wait and see. I'll definitely keep you guys all posted. But one thing I am going to order, and I'm really looking forward to, I have decided I am going to order the HomePod Mini. I want to give that a whirl.
Okay.
Are you going to get one then?
No.
No, because I know you have so many dots in Google and stuff. I've been wanting to get in one more dot or something equivalent to that. So I decided, well, I'm going to go out on the limb and try this.
Well, I have a failing second version Echo device, and I need to get one, and I'm going for the ball this time, the Ford, because it's starting to fail. The components, I'm not sure what happened, but I'm going to go for that rather than getting an iPod.
We're going to have to compare notes because I'm mm-hmm. really looking forward to it. I'm really anxious to try it. And I mean, it's a really good price. I don't think $99 is, yes, it's higher than the Dots and higher than the Echo, but this is Apple's product, and I'm hoping, I'm putting a lot of beans in this, and I realize that I'm putting a lot of hope into this. So hopefully it sounds as good as I hope it does for such a small little device. I know it's not going to be as good as the HomePod, but I'm definitely looking forward to it. I think that goes on order on the 6th as well.
Yep. Now, for the blind community, let's talk about how, say, Seeing AI and some of these other apps work on it for reading your mail and stuff. How have you find those apps on your new device?
Well, because I'm coming from 11 to 12, I don't see a whole lot of difference. I can say I'm truly amazed every time I get a step up how much faster the phone is. I really am surprised that I would see a difference just going from 11 Pro to a 12 Pro. You wouldn't think you see a lot, but I can still feel the snappiness and the things like that. But for me, the Seeing AI and the AI intelligent, they seem to be, especially the AI part of it is faster, but the apps themselves are about the same when it comes up to speed wise, like loading it up. But for you, I bet it's day nine.
Yeah. Well, I started taking my 12 out of my pocket. And it was starting to read mail before I had it out. I mean, it was just crazy. So for me, it was definitely a step up.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine you probably like, wow, this is so nice. Everything is so quick and fast. No lagging anywhere. And so you're seeing
I opened up the window and I opened up my window and said, hey, man, neighbors, come and see this. not literally, but I felt like it.
Well, that's awesome. And I would love to hear other people experience if they come from an older device like that and what you have seen and what part of it that you've seen has been like dramatically faster and things like that. I don't think there is a much for those that want to stay in an iPhone 11. I get it. And yeah, rightfully so. I don't think there's really anything in here that I can say you're missing other than the LiDAR. There are some neat things with the LiDAR. However, we just haven't seen it yet. And in terms for blind accessibility folks, for example, when you open up your camera now, it will automatically detect a person and it'll tell you exactly how tall they are. And that's only available on the Pro and up. And those are not accessible at this time.
Wow.
So it's just instantaneously say there's a person and it comes up with the height detector and it's just 5'7". I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. I'm anxious to wait to see how that's going to work out for us when it turns to developers. Unfortunately, a lot of people may not be able to use it, but I don't think we're going to see a lot of it coming out this year. We'll have to see
for a while.
And speaking of lagging and all those, the iOS 14.1 came out. Thank the Lord that it came out. I think a lot of us were so happy that this finally came out. It finally resolved the major problem of focus jumping around when you're faced on an HTML web-based screen. And also the voice over lag. And those two were fixed along with three other items. So there was five voiceover items that were fixed.
My email is better for sure.
Oh, I know, right? Did you have a terrible time reading the email?
And now the 11 I borrowed from work. I gave it back, by the way. I did not notice any lag in voiceover. With the old iOS update, I just didn't notice anything. I don't know if that was because of the faster processor, but on my 8, it was terrible. When they updated, my 8 was fine. When they updated my, or the 11 didn't change for me at all. So I don't know what's going on there, but really? I'm happy they did. Yeah.
You know, it's you're not the only one I've heard that. I've heard that newer devices, the updates did well, and some updates for older phones didn't do a whole lot. And I don't know what's going on there exactly. I know they try to fix it. Hopefully they will still continue to fix it. 14.2 should be right around the corner. I'm expecting this to drop anytime. I'm surprised they haven't already dropped it already. I would expect it to come out within the next 2-3 weeks. I really do. So 14.2, I'm not sure if it includes any more new fixes because we didn't have a beta 14.1 to test. And the things that were fixed in 14.2 were the one that came out and were fixed on 14.1. So we were kind of taken aback a little bit without knowing what was fixed because they never released it to the public or the developers to check. But regardless, 14.2 has come out. If you don't have 14.1 yet, I highly recommend you doing it.
Get it.
If you've been waiting to hold back from all the bugs that we've been reporting, I think 14.1 is at the point that it's reasonable. I think 95% of the time it works great for me. Yes, there are some minor issues, but not enough to say that I would hold back. I mean, would you think the same?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's time to update to 14. Do we both give the green light, the two thumbs up?
Yeah.
We'll be Cisco and Ebert. How about that?
Well, they're both dead, so we can't really.
You're reviewing my review. I give it a thumbs up there. I think it's ready.
Yeah, we're very much alive and saying, go ahead and update. You won't be sorry.
Yeah. And if you haven't tried, and I know a lot of voiceover users do not try this, I got a little tip here for you. Try out turning on the magnifier in your voice in the accessibility over area. Just turn that on. And what that does, it opens up, you'll get a new magnifier app. Just turn that, just go into the magnifier app, and lord and behold, you're going to be surprised what it does now. I was shocked that they have introduced a lot of AI infrastructure into this magnifier, and it does a pretty darn good job. I was pretty shocked to see that it will now detect things. So the magnifier isn't just specifically for voice, those with low vision. It's also for people with voiceover. It will actually tell you like, there's a computer and a printer on a wood surface desk and such. And it's very well described. Very cool. It is really fascinating. You'll have to let me know how that is on 14.1, but on 14.2, it is fantastic description. Now, I still don't know what practical use I would have for it, but it is significantly better than any other Seeing AI, Envision, SuperSense. When it comes to AI detection, it really does. I personally think it outshines those. That's a pretty big statement to make, but I'll leave that up to you to determine if, because I can pick up a Coke can and I'll say, oh, it's a Coca-Cola can. Today I focus to myself and says, a person smiling with a blue shirt and blue jeans. I was like, wow. They actually told me what I was wearing and everything. Wow. The only thing that was spooky though, that I was aiming towards a window. I was hoping it would tell me a window. And it says there's a person standing in front of the window. I said, what? There's nobody in front of this windows, I hope.
So what was it?
It was nobody. It says there was a person in front of the window. So obviously it still has some issues unless.
Well, what level were you on? Were you on an upper level or a lower level?
Upper level.
Oh, that's too creepy.
It's spooky, right?
It's before Superman.
Halloween, I was like, honey, where are you?
Is there somebody hanging around outside?
I was like, is there somebody in my room? So it is really kind of cool. Check it out. Those with the Apple Watch Series 3 are going to be so happy to hear this. We have been reporting about crashing and restarting of your watch. Make sure you update to the latest 7.0.3. It resolved that problem. And
I have not had that, but I did update. Oh, thank you for the podcast, by the way, of prominent haptic feedback. Excellent cast.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it, and I hope other people will listen to that. I did some podcasts on the Apple Watch. I thought, well, it hasn't gotten some love, so I decided to do that. But yes, 7.0.3, definitely you get it if you have a Series 3. It's so odd that some people had the problem and some people constantly were having the problem. It was so bad, it was crashing all the time. Thankfully, that has been resolved, thank the Lord. I'm glad that has come out. I love my Series 5. I absolutely love this thing.
You know, I still have been waiting all night, all day, and all night, and all day, and all night, and all day, just to have you try that walkie-talkie app. Have you tried it yet?
You know what, Mr. Buster Brown? I'm calling you Buster Brown right now, right here, because a week ago, I said, I'm going to do this walkie-talkie with Randy. So I said, okay, walkie-talkie, Randy Resnick. Randy has been sent an invitation. You have to accept it. So I have not received an invitation from you that you accept.
I have not. Wow, I have not
received it. Yes, Mr. Buster Brown, you're falling behind.
Okay, well then, no matter what, you're still wrong.
Apparently, you have to accept the permission that I can sing your walkie-talkie.
Okay, so I'll go in there and look, but boy, I'll tell you, I've been chatting with some other folks, and we've been just having a great time demonstrating it to students and everything, and it's just like a Dick Tracy wearable. It's just so cool. I'm not saying it's perfect, but it's a lot better than it was, in my humble opinion.
Your humble opinion. Yes. All right. Well, you know, it has a nudge on there. I think I'll send you a nudge, and we'll finally get this resolved. You know, yeah. Things are, you know, guys, your listeners, we just move like the speed of of a sloth. I mean, we sometimes go real fast, sometimes we don't. That's just, you know.
Yeah.
You will get it done.
Plus, we do have lives outside of this podcast. And
we do?
I thought we did. And sometimes we're so busy, we just haven't, you know, caught up.
Ah, that's all right.
Yes.
I guess, do you remember of course you remember, back in the 80s, early 80s, well, that just tells how old we are. Well, they introduced something called MTV. You remember that?
24/7
music. All day video music. What was the first MTV show? It was a video killed the audio, the radio.
Yeah, style. Yeah. And I can also remember when they ran their tapes. The tapes came from running from slower to faster, you know, to get up to speed. And I could hear the 750 cycles. You know, that whistling that TVs used to put out.
Oh yeah.
I don't think I could hear them anymore, but. When it first came up, I could hear it like go.
Oh yeah,
catch up to. You remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that. Now everybody's probably like puzzled to death. Like, what are they talking about?
They have no idea.
Back in '81, really, I believe, MTV came rolling out, and it was a 24-hour, 7 days a week, nothing but video music. Well, Apple Music decided to roll out a very similar concept to the MTV called Apple Music TV, which is 24 hours, 7 days a week, video music. And yes, it is free for anyone. You do not have to have Apple Music to take advantage of this, nor Apple TV, which is kind of a cool thing. Now, the only drawback, and obviously, and I can hear all the sighs and like, oh, this is so Apple. It's only available for the United States at this time. Apologies.
That's okay with me.
It isn't for others. Like, oh, I imagine.
Sorry there, everybody.
But if you want to take advantage of it or just try to check it out, you just open up Apple Music. The second tab on the bottom left is Browse. And then go find the segment. There's a little heading that says Apple Music TV, and you can put that on. Or you can open up the Apple TV and kind of browse down until you find the Apple Music TV, and you can watch it on there.
So I thought, in your opinion, is it good? Or would, you know, in our age group, would we like it at all? Or is it all hip-hop or flip-flop or bip-bop or whatever?
What I like about it is it's almost like an MTV. It not only does it have just music all the time, but there's certain times that will have like the top 10 or the top of different genre, and so they're trying to incorporate for everyone that wants to listen to it. Now, if I were just willy-nilly just turned on, no, I don't think they're going to be playing music that you and I typically like to listen to. If you're into the top 40 kind of a deal, a lot of hip-hop, mm-hmm. those kind of things, I think you will enjoy it tremendously, and a lot of top pop and things like that. But I have, well, you know, I do listen to all this music, but I listen to a lot of alternative music. I tend to those better.
Me too.
I don't know why, but in the late 80s and 90s, I was really into alternative and new wave and grunge music, and I just kind of grew up with that. And so I haven't really gone away from that.
And when I worked in radio, I did the alternative spins too. So I like it. I still do.
Yeah. So for by you the way, and I, Meg, if really. I can,
right. If I can just interject one thing, I still love my router. I've been getting comments on, do you really like it that much? And I've had people order the types of routers that
outstanding.
I love mine still.
We're talking about the Netgear Orbi mesh router. Mm-hmm. We both got it, and I'm with you. I have not touched it once for what has it been now? 3 months, 2 months, and not touched it once. And
yeah,
never had
two
it.
For me. Yeah.
And have you had any mm-hmm. slowdown issue that you were having on yours?
None.
Still?
None. Absolutely none.
Wow. That says a lot. And I don't normally go out on a limb like that on a lot of things, but this one, I'm telling you, it made such a heavy impression on me. I loved it. And I've also had quite a few emails asking me what was the model and those things, and keep them coming if you're
same
interested.
Here.
I think it's reasonable.
I had to look it up. I just, because I don't remember.
Yeah, it's a Netgear Orbi and Orby. Yes, there are more expensive alternatives. They're really expensive, but this, I found it like to be the low end that are probably just as equivalent as the more expensive ones. Mm-hmm. Anywho, Keynotes is not over, folks. And
no, we got another one coming up.
Yep, time fly has gone by, and then high speed, and now we are expecting the next keynote, which is probably going to reveal the new Apple Silicon chip that we will find on the Mac. Latest rumors has it is going to fall on November 17th. I thought, wow, okay, so that's going to be a week before Thanksgiving here in the United States. We can expect the public release finally for the Big Sur OS. So those are excited to get your hand on the new OS and the Mac. That will be probably around roughly the same time when the keynote is dropped. And then finally, over more than a year, and you've been hearing us talking about for months and months and months, and I thought they would reveal it last keynote in the high speed. They did not. It's the AirTags. Lot of rumbling still saying that if they truly believe that it's going to come out in this November keynote. Some people are talking about two different sizes, and I was like, really? I think Tiles does that, does it not? It has different sizes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now when Tom and I get together, we sure. can compare notes. You can say, how big is yours?
And, well,
that will make
right,
a lot of sense.
Uh-huh. So apparently they're going to have two different sizes. What difference they are, we don't know yet, but we'll have to wait and right. see it. Apparently they were going to talk about the AirPods Studios, but evidently there's been some delay. And
I was going to ask you about that.
Well, the latest news I've heard, there was a problem in the production line. Significantly enough that they had to put a pause on it. But have no fear. The next keynote after this, just to put you on a calendar, is for March. And that is when we can expect probably the AirPods Studio, along with probably some new iPads. Who knows? And we might even have that AirPod Lite that we've been talking about, the third generation, which is supposed to be pretty much like the AirPod Pro, but at a cheaper uh-huh. version. That would be exciting to hear about. I think we got plenty of new things that we will see in next year, March event.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to get anything more until probably till I'm like 90, I think.
And another side note that came along, and the Apple fiscal fourth quarter came along. You know, this was really interesting, Randy, because typically, we always had the iPhone kind of release right in the time frame with the quarter four. But, you know, with the COVID, we were pushed back almost a month. So it didn't fall in the quarter four. So some analysts were predicting it to be a little bit less without the iPhone sales. And as always, they shocked us to death. They still made $64 billion in revenue, which is par on exactly what they had last quarter of last year, and that was including the iPhone. And so that's just to show you that Apple is so resilient even through the COVID period. And I was, you know, yes, call me an Apple fanboy, but I was so happy and glad to hear that the COVID didn't slow them down. It's so sad because my other beloved people like Disney and they're just suffering so much, losing losing so much money. But Apple is not. They had, so it made above analyst prediction. They did great. Now, the iPhone sales was at the lowest since 2014. And that makes sense because typically, again, we're expecting iPhone surges for this quarter four, and there weren't any iPhones. However, they had the highest revenue ever recorded on all products except for the iPhone. We're talking the Mac, AirPods, the pads, everything was at its highest ever sold. And that made that number go up along with services. And I have to tell you this. I thought this was crazy. They, if you add up what they made in the past four quarters for one fiscal year, they made $275 billion in revenue. I was like, jeez.
I can't even imagine that.
Some other numbers that came out, they have 585 million active subscribers on services. I had to think about that. I was thinking, what does that mean? I guess it means like Apple TV, iCloud, Apple Music. And I suppose if you include the people with iCloud services, yeah, that would probably make sense. But they have the all-time high active subscribers. Over a billion phones have now been that are now active. And there's no estimate for next quarter. So, with again, this is second time in a row they're not giving any forecast prediction for next month. And I'm kind of surprised at this point. I figured they would kind of sort of know they've been doing well. And I don't know why they aren't. Not that it's important to us, but it is for people that are investors so they can find out if they should invest into Apple stock or not. However, I know that's just blah, 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 blah stuff. Yeah, but I was excited. I'm really anxious to see now, knowing that the iPhone is a gangbuster. The iPhone 12 is way higher expected. And so they think, finally, this may be the super cycle that Apple has been wanting to see for such a long time. I bet you we're going to see a really big quarter. I really do for Q1. So you better start investing in Apple stock there, Mr. Randy.
Yeah, I've got some going right now.
Do you really?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not really, no.
Well, see,
as soon as I do, they'd fail, so I'm not going to do it.
And today, upon this recording of the podcast, Apple One is now out, Mr. Randy.
Oh, wow.
The Apple One bundle we were talking about last month, the first half the package is out. And obviously the premium, the Fitness Plus, is not ready. It'll be out still by the end of this quarter. And so it's still coming. So I am going to sign up this afternoon for my $19.99 for family sharing. That will include my Apple Music, Apple TV Plus, my Apple Arcade, and the 200 gig iCloud for the same price I'm paying right now.
They're trying to get me to go Apple. They're trying to get me to buy Arcade. It's free.
They'll offer it to me for free.
Yeah, I know. Oh my gosh.
I'm not sure if other people have seen, especially the iPhone 12 users. They've been pushing. Mm-hmm. Ever since we got it, saying try Apple Arcade, and it's not. It's kind of spammy. It's on a spammy level now. It's been pushing me like three or four times since I've gotten the phone a week ago. And because I got it in the family, my wife on her iPhone 10 Pro or iPhone 10 Max, 10S Max, is that it's also pushing her to say, hey, you're eligible for this Apple Arcade. Basically, it's been telling us that we're eligible for a 3-month trial for Apple Arcade. And I was like, oh my goodness, seriously, guys. And I'm kind of hesitant that they're going to be pushing this Apple One bundle down our throat, too. I hope not. But
no, Angela has not got a phone yet. She's waiting, right? Your son did, but not your wife, right?
Yeah. So my oldest son had an iPhone XS, and my wife had the XS Pro. Now, my son with the XS got his iPhone 12 Pro, like myself. My wife is waiting for the 6 so she can order the iPhone 12 Pro Max. And my oldest son is waiting for, he wants the iPhone 12 Mini. So they're all upgrading to an iPhone 12 in our family. So it's half and half.
Are you going to do a comparison podcast?
I mind. I especially with the Mini. I would like to do that.
Yeah, I hope you will.
And the Max. I'm curious how big of a behemoth this baby's going to be. Gotta be huge. Geez. And now on to what is into AppleViz this month. You and I probably know this name, and because we're audio editors, we like to edit audios and things like that. And on the Windows platform, it is kind of a gold standard, really. Back in the days, it was very well known, and it still is to a lot of people, called GoldWave. Have you ever used GoldWave yourself?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what do you think of it? Is it pretty
accessible? Well, I like GoldWave. But I use it predominantly for creating effects and things like that. But yes, I like it.
And the reason I'm saying that is because GoldWave is now an iOS app. It's a free app with a catch, of course. In-app purchases, it will allow you to save your editing of your recording, things like that. But what I really like about this GoldWave app, it is robust. I mean, it is as robust as a real audio editor should be. Yes, we have had a lot of different ferrites and all these different kind of recorders, audio memos. They were just kind of a basic, you'd be able to record and do a slight trimming. This baby allows you to do filters and all sorts of things that we have never have seen in an app like
that. Have you tried it?
I have. I will say it is not for the faint of heart. It is just as kind of comprehensive as you were to dive into GoldWave for the first time. It's going to be overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And it's got a lot of bells and whistles in it. And so if you're looking for a true audio editor for your phone, maybe even for your iPad, definitely check it out. It's free, just a whirl, and you can just try it out. You won't be able to save it, of course, but something to check out if that is up your alley. Really, it's been kind of quiet when it comes to new apps, which is...
Oh, yeah.
We haven't really had a whole lot. Now, the only major thing I saw this month when it comes to updates is the Microsoft Soundscape, which I'm glad they finally introduced this. I'm kind of surprised they didn't introduce it when it first came out. We weren't able to really try it out. I mean, you had to open it up and you heard a couple of things, but you had to go out and physically use it to truly understand the awesomeness of Soundscape. But Soundscape now gives you a virtual room experience. So you can stay home virtually, or I should say you can stay home and virtually go around your surroundings as if you're going down the street. So you can pinpoint to a different spot and I'll actually take you to that spot, like as if you're on that street, what you would hear as you're going down that street. I thought that was really cool.
Cool.
And so if you haven't tried Soundscape, I give it a try. It's a little bit of getting used to, and it's really astonishing when you had headphones on because it uses a kind of a 3D environment sound. So if the point of interest is on your left, you're going to hear it on your left ear. If it's on the right, you're going to hear it in the right. If it's in front of you, you're going to hear it in the center, which got some pretty cool aspect to it. It's kind of disoriented when I tried it and walking. I don't know why. And if you have any kind of a hearing issue, obviously the stereo is not going to work that great. But overall, for being a free app, and if you need a walking assistant direction by direction, definitely check that out. And my favorite is going beyond the Apple news. We did this last month, and I think a lot of people enjoyed that. We kind of reached out outside of the Apple box. The American Council of the Blind have decided to go virtual next year. I was kind of surprised they announced it this early, but after I read the article, it made sense that logistically they were already making plans for buses and everything to come all together for the next July event. They have announced it is going to be virtual once again. I mentioned this last time about this virtual experience. I like it because it really gives a lot of people experience that weren't able to be able to go anyway, because originally it was supposed to be in Phoenix, and obviously I wouldn't be going to Phoenix for the show, but I will be able to do it from home. It's still going to be from July 23rd to the July 30th, so the date is still long. It's just, with the exception, we're going to do it by a virtual. The last one I'm going to bring up is that I read this article and I thought it was interesting that they had a settlement. ACB, among other agency and an individual, sued ABC or HBO Max for the lack of audio-described content. And I was, you know, I was kind of shocked that HBO Max didn't have audio-described content. I would think that, like with most other streaming services, they offer that. And apparently they either don't offer enough of it or didn't at all, because they were sued and the ACB and those people won. So it basically forces HBO to go ahead and produce at least 1,400 hours of audio described content by March, and then four times that month within 2023.
Good. That's all great. I can say.
Well, you know, 1,400 hours doesn't sound like much. If you think about it, for every hour of a show, I mean, you could have a season. That's 8 shows, 10 shows. And that doesn't – so I'm glad that they won. I don't usually like to discuss about lawsuits. Some of them are pretty frivolous, and I don't agree with some of them. But in this case, I'm glad that they're showing people we really need this. If this isn't a want, this is really a need for a lot of us to enjoy that our sighted peer are able to do.
Sure.
And so I'm
you know what
so
else happy. Hate though is when we hear things like, to get this deal, call the number on your screen.
That's true. And I know it's terrible. It's like, all right, well, you're going to have to call to do this or do that to turn this on. No, it's nice. It's going to be a blanket effect that it'll apply to everybody without having to turn on anything or to call number, anything like that. So I was so happy to hear that. But before we head on out of here, we also had Amazon Prime Day. That happened the same day at the high speed. Typically, you know, I looked high and low, and there were some, oh my gosh, there were some great deals, guys. I did not get anything this time. I was shocked to see an AirPod Pro for $140. I was like, what? $140. And did you take the time to take a look at the sales, and did you find anything of interest for you?
Yes, to both. I snagged a Ring Doorbell 2 premium version, which is the latest updated version. Not the 3, but the 2. It had things that I like to offer. Plus, it came with an Echo Dot.
It did.
I got that. It came with the device, the third generation. Yep. So I got that for $75 or something.
$75. That is an incredible. So you're telling me you got a
Ring Doorbell 2.0
third
Dot.
Generation and an Echo Dot for $75.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually what? $190?
Oh my gosh.
$160 for the Ring alone?
Something like that. And I was really lucky. And then I got a Votomi speaker, which is normally $69. I got it for like $40. And that is a speaker that I talked about on my podcast. So if you want to check it out, you know where to go. But it's really an awesome speaker, you guys. Bluetooth 5.0. Able to pair two of them, and the sound on them have a radiator in each end, and it's just killer sound for the price.
That's awesome. For $40, that's really amazing. And I'm glad you've got the 5.0 Bluetooth. I mean, you really, this day and age, you got to make sure that it's Bluetooth 5.0 enabled, because it makes a huge difference when it comes to pairing speed and things like that. Well, it sounds like you did great. And there were a ton of great deals. I got a funny feeling this isn't over yet. I've heard that most of the major retailers are having their own Black Fridays every Friday of the month of November. So I don't
think I was so disappointed though, Tom.
Why is that?
I didn't get my show, and I didn't get a new Echo fourth generation device. There were no price drops on them.
Right. You know, that's right. I was kind of surprised, but in a way, I guess I'm not. I guess they're trying to dump all the older generation it showed an echo. I wonder if that will change on Black Friday, the real Black Friday.
Looking forward to it.
I hope so too, because if I were getting anything, I would wait until I get the new generation. Even I realize the dots and stuff are pretty cheap. And if you don't own one,
$18,
then I would say if you don't own one, then I should go for it for $18, $19. I think you're right. I think there was $19 for an Echo Dot, and that includes 6 months of Amazon Music for free.
Right.
But I think you're going to get better deals coming up on Black Friday, because I think we got my Echo Dot for $9.99 during Black Friday. Right. And I think I got like 3 months of Amazon Music for free. And that was last year. And that you cannot get any better than this. So I think it was good prices. But if you wait, I think you're going to get better prices. I think they're really going to try to do all out dumping the older stuff. But I tell you what, the older stuff is just as good. So don't get me wrong. I love my Dot. Love my Echo. But I think they're going to have a new friend, the Apple HomePod Mini. And I'll let you know. I'll probably do a little podcast on comparison differences, what I think is sound and things like that. So people. But overall, I think we are both an iPhone 12 owners now. We absolutely love our device. With exception with my one minor caveat, if you're coming from 11 or even from a 10, I think you might be slightly disappointed with the battery. I think people will be happy with it, but I really think that anybody that's with an 8 and lower, it's going to be night and day difference when it comes to speed and battery life is going to be outstanding.
And you will never hear me talk about battery life on this podcast ever again. Ever. Until the next model, right?
You know what? It was sad is the iPhone 12 Mini has a bigger battery than the iPhone SE 2020. And I was like, wow. Mm-hmm. I was not expecting that. I figured it'd be about the same. But anywho, that's pretty much everything we have for the AppleViz Unleashed for October 2020. And along with me was Mr. Randy Rusnak, also known as the Big R.
Thank you, friends, for listening. We really love you guys.
That's right. Until next month, my name is Thomas Stomfield. I also go by the name of Anonymous. Until next month, bye-bye.
This AppleViz podcast has been brought to you by the community of AppleViz.com for the latest in resources and tips and tricks to get you the best experience from your AppleView. AppleViz.com.